We start with COVID-19. Numbers ticked up again in North Carolina last week as hospitalizations increased for the fifth week in a row, and the state saw a 13% increase in COVID particles found in wastewater. That's a reversal after a big drop in that metric the week before. State health officials are continuing to urge everyone to follow the same basic precautions: wear a mask in crowded indoor spaces, stay home when you're sick, and stay up to date on your COVID vaccines. Locally, the town of Carrboro is searching for a new fire chief, as David Schmidt recently announced he was stepping down to move with his family to Illinois. Schmidt came onto the job in January of 2020, right before the pandemic. Among many other things, he served as the town's emergency manager at the height of COVID-19. He spoke with 97.9 The Hill recently about what he'll remember most, particularly the dedication of his crew.
The firefighters recognizing, hey, you know, this is not technically in our purview per se, but here's an opportunity. We can distribute masks. Whether it was setting up a table in front of the fire station for multiple weeks, and we even took it out to a couple different grocery stores a couple different times, and we were just distributing masks. And then Orange County started doing food distribution once again. They stepped up and said, this is a great opportunity to serve our community. And they jumped in and began helping coordinate the food distribution. We did it at Carrboro High School a number of times and also out at Anderson Park. Even with that, it still wasn't enough because our car seat coordinator said, hey, wait a minute, they're a captive audience waiting in line to receive a food distribution. Let's look and see if anybody has kids. And if they have kids, do they have car seats? And so towards the end of the food distributions, we would start to walk through the lines and just talk to people. We fixed and adjusted numerous car seats, and we gave away, supplied numerous car seats to people that either didn't have them or they had the wrong size for the child. And so that kind of goes back to, as things shut down, we didn't have the same call volume for service because people were at home. And so they were looking for opportunities to engage, still engage the community. Every one of those times we said, hey, here's an opportunity, they stepped right up.
That's outgoing Carrboro Fire Chief David Schmidt there. Deputy Chief Carl Freeman is taking over as interim fire chief while the search is on for a permanent replacement. In legal news, the U.S. Supreme Court has set Halloween, October 31st, as the date to hear oral arguments in a high-profile case challenging the use of race in UNC's admissions process. Lower courts have consistently ruled in UNC's favor, and the Supreme Court has ruled for decades that colleges and universities can use race as a limited factor in admissions decisions with the goal of ensuring a diverse student body, but plaintiffs are hoping the court overturns those earlier decisions. Governor Roy Cooper is siding with UNC there. He and three former Democratic governors have signed on to a friend of the court brief urging the Supreme Court to rule in the university's favor, saying, quote, North Carolina's reputation as the education state requires nothing less than a system of public education, including higher education, that values, supports, and mirrors the great diversity of the state and provides equal opportunity to all to pursue their dreams. Speaking of education, big congratulations to an East Chapel Hill High School student, Pristine Onuoha, winner of the 8th annual Jeans in Space STEM competition. Jeans in Space is a nationwide science competition encouraging middle and high schoolers to propose original DNA experiments related to space exploration. Pristine's proposal was chosen from more than 600 submissions, and as a result, her experiment will actually be performed by astronauts next year on the International Space Station. Back locally, you may have noticed some updated stickers on your blue curbside recycling bins, part of a new program from Orange County Solid Waste Management to help people better understand what can be recycled, with some extra incentives for those who do it best, as 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell explains.
Some Orange County community members may not think about what happens to their recyclables after putting them into the big blue bins that get emptied each week. But Kira Laveau, who is the Community Engagement Supervisor for Orange County's Solid Waste Management, says there are several important steps. In order for the recyclables to be prepared and divided for sale, Laveau says the county works with a Material Recovery Facility, or MRF.
That's where all of the materials in the blue recycling cart is sent to, and then at the MRF is where it's all sorted out into the different categories. So glass is sorted separately, paper, cardboard, our plastics are sorted separately, and then the aluminum cans and metal.
But the county's preparation of those materials will hit various snags when things that are not accepted for recycling get put in collection bins. Waste Management's research and data manager, Cheryl Young, says the items get labeled as contaminants. Young says compared to other counties, Orange County holds a pretty high success rate for keeping contaminants out of recyclable collection.
In 2019, we actually contracted and had a recycling sort done, which is where materials were collected from all the various streams. And collectively, it was a little over 12% that were deemed contaminants. Although we like it to be lower than that, in comparison with many, many communities, we are ahead of the game.
That doesn't mean, however, Orange County wants to stop there. To help educate and incentivize residents, the Waste Management Department launched the Recycling Star program a few months ago. For the first step, staff members replaced messaging on the county's recycling bins with updated information and details about the program. Laveau says those messages alert residents with stickers for if they've recycled the right materials.
They'll receive a star letter saying thank you so much for being an exemplary recycler if we don't find any contaminants in the cart. They could receive a light contamination letter, which means it's not really the hazardous, dangerous contaminants, but it's still contamination. Or they'll get an oops tag, which means, you know, we saw some more significant contaminants that we're really trying to cut out of the stream, and that means that the recycling cart will not be collected.
The education measure is done at different neighborhoods and streets every few weeks, which allows the recycling collectors to check bins for improvement. Young says during the initial test run of a neighborhood, the returns were very clear.
We started this pretty small because we're tweaking our process as well. Went from the first inspection had about 43% of the carts had serious contamination that resulted in oops tag. By the last round of that neighborhood, we found 4 plastic bags. So dramatic improvement.
As the program expands and continues, residents who earn a Recycling Star sticker 2 weeks in a row will be entered into a raffle. Laveau says drawings will happen once every 500 residents who earn the designation.
So our prizes include 3 different options. It's either a $50 gift certificate to a local farmer's market of their choosing based on where they're located, a $50 Visa gift card, or a backyard earth machine composter, which is valued at $50.
But Young says with recycling's impact on cutting down local waste and landfills, there are already plenty of reasons for county residents to try and be recycling stars. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
And finally, in business news, the new Aldi grocery store is now open in Chapel Hill's Eastgate Crossing in the spot formerly occupied by Stein Mart. Store has a 10-year lease with the option to renew in 5-year increments. Get more info on that plus photos from inside the store by visiting our website, chapelboro.com. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by the Sheraton Chapel Hill. The non-conference schedule is out for the Tar Heel women's basketball team, just a couple months away from the start of their season. Carolina will open up at home on November 9th, hosting Jackson State at 7 p.m., then 2 more home games against TCU on November 12th and South Carolina State on the 16th. Then the Heels hit the road to face James Madison before heading out to Oregon for the Phil Knight Invitational over Thanksgiving, followed by a trip to Indiana to face the Hoosiers in the ACC Big Ten Challenge on December 1st. After that, 2 more home games against UNCW and Wofford, and then 1 more road game against NCA&T before they wrap up on December 20th in the Jumpman Invitational, taking on Michigan. That's a neutral site game in Charlotte. The Tar Heels are looking to build on last year's success, which ended with a run to the Sweet 16. You can get a link to the full schedule on our website, chapelboro.com. Meanwhile, preseason practice continues for the Tar Heel football team, now 23 days out from their season opener against Florida A&M. On the coaching staff, Gene Chizik is back in Chapel Hill this year as UNC's new assistant head coach for defense. Here he is speaking with the media yesterday about his team.
I think we've made a lot of progress. I think we've done a really, really good job of teaching them and making them understand the importance of fundamentals. You know, a lot of people can get so much, and we've talked about this before, right? So many people can get so into the scheme and all that. That you lose fundamentals, and we haven't done that. I think we've gotten better. I think 5 days, it's really starting to show up. But like I tell them, when we do something out there on a drill, if it's not showing up in 11-on-11, either we're not teaching it right or you don't understand what we want you to do, because that's the whole purpose of the drills. But the drills are starting to, the accumulation of the drills are starting to come alive. I'm seeing it in practice, so I'm really happy with it.
That is Gene Chizik speaking there. Finally, in baseball, the Durham Bulls got another win yesterday, 3-1 over Worcester. That puts them up 2-0 in the road series. Game 3 is tonight at 6:45.